She thinks she's just crying and being moved. And but you know that when he said, doubt not in your heart, you'll have what you say. Well, concerning infirmities, he steps in with groanings which can't be uttered from time to time. And so there's different kinds of intercession. Some, you reach places of joy that you're, that the problem couldn't look any worse, but you're having a party because you know it's done. See? And a little one. Don't know if you know that. You probably don't, or you wouldn't have me telling you. You changed something. You changed something, and it was so strong as to be, you know, to lose God to change even people. And never a prayer you've ever uttered has ever been wasted. Never. But this time, when you was over there and entered into a certain place, I seen the effect taking place. So he wants you to know that something is changing right now. Right now. Right now in Jesus' name. And you changed it. When I speak of intercession, or this is him, this is what the tongue said. When I speak of intercession, I speak of me being able to use you and to place you between somebody that doesn't have and me. And when you make intercession and you remove the things between them and me that keeps them from having fellowship with me. Did you know that when you make this kind of intercession, that mountains are moved and people you never dreamed would be saved begin to be saved? A relationship with me is not putting in your couple of hours that week to meet with me and to sing, and but your walk with me is me occupying your life and you occupying mine, and you knowing that I have a call for you and something. Something to accomplish. And he went on to say, for there isn't a person in here that I have not called to accomplish something in the purpose of my plan. Woo! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when you do, and don't know why, sometimes we think we just love him and we'll start crying, and we do. And we'll just start weeping and not know why. Well, sometimes a person will do that when they're sad or extra happy. But why would you be doing that while you was worshiping God? Get sad or extra happy. Iskora kedaskia somasha. Manchikuska. Is not faith the substance of the thing you're hoping for and all the evidence you need of the thing you can't see? When you allow me to enter into those places of your heart where changes are made, then faith is produced, mountains are moved, and strongholds come down, and strength comes up. I should have write that one down. You know, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Yeshodasi. Hallelujah. Bekido sodota. Shokurandure kreki kipo badakade sancho anaskia. Heskidi obakitia. Andaskedasa. For some of you look and you think, what kind of order is this to service? Well, I would say this to you, that when exhortation begins to take place, that when I begin to exhort, why would I exhort over something that you may never use? And when I exhort, why wouldn't I exhort concerning the problems that most of the people have who are present? Do I not know your mind? Do I not know where you're walking? At these times, when I exhort can be a relative of prophecy, and prophecy a relative of tongues. But when I exhort, I'll take things about you and I will direct the prayer and the counsel and the direction for you to receive an answer. This kosad I see. Adondaska. For saying things that are irrelevant to your lives and probably never will be relevant, what purpose would that serve? Am I not in your midst to fellowship with you? This is not religion. This is life and family. Woo. I don't know if that was an exhortation or a rebuke. Either way, I'll take it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Haludessa. Okay, I'm not running the service, okay? I got you. Let me dear to us ke alu fratis ke ene horeko has keresa and this keresa to donanama halodessa. Haladessa. When you worship me and pray in the Holy Spirit, understand this, that your worship will take an order. It will take itself into order. As when you're praying in tongues, you're not choosing what is to be said. For some will say, I think I'll pray about it in tongues. Well, you're not choosing even the subject. I know what's causing the problem. And when you pray in tongues, you're edifying yourself and building yourself up. But when you worship me, when you worship me, you cause that part of you in the Spirit to rise up that I said not to doubt in. And your hallelujahs will become hallowedesses, which interpretation of the language will be victories, glorified victories. Victories, desas, desas, desas. I haven't been in a service like this before. Well, neither have I. Halidessa. There wasn't even a Yah in there. Halidessa. Hallelujah. Halidessa. Well, congratulations for the glory that Yah, hallelujah, Yah, Yahshua, that what He did for you, it was Him that did this. That's what that meant. Don't ask me to repeat it because I can't remember the word. I don't speak any other languages. Have you been noticing the frequency that He has been bringing up the love of God, and the frequency He keeps doing it in, and now the revelation that He's beginning to pour out on the subject, not just me, all over the place. I was so amazed at this conference to hear all that I heard on the love of God, knowing that it is the agent that casts out all fear. And in the long run, never, never fails. Well, I don't mind telling you that I was amazed in the conference over the frequency. And even this morning, He messed my message up because I wanted to listen to His. I was back there and turned that speaker on, and He took the Bible away from me to hear Him exhort on the love of God out of the revelation knowledge that He was exhorting. It started my engine. You know, I finally told to the outside world, basically, and I know we've been editing things, but to the outside world, I didn't talk as much about hell showing up like it did in Brazil, and those devils camping at that door, and were willing to do anything to keep us. I mean, anything to keep us from entering in to the love of God that has been made available to us now to cross over into and begin our walk down this path. Remember this. Tulsa is in revival. Jesus is Lord over Tulsa. And the key word to this was endurance. And I understand now why. How could anybody bring a bunch of religions together? You know, when Paul exhorted He says there's people that's exalting themselves, and there's people running around saying, I'm of so-and-so, and I'm of so-and-so, and you've divided the communion. So they were grouping together already and choosing a teaching leader. Well, how about 5 square miles of Tulsa? You want to count the churches? And if you walked into all of them for one Sunday, none of them's going to say the same thing, and they all are not going to believe like each other. Most of it will leave the power part out of the Word. And even if the Holy Ghost is being preached, most are leaving sin out now, saying it's okay. Well, you know what Paul would do? If he says, Lord, can I just go down to Tulsa for a couple of weeks? I'd like to straighten it out. Well, I mean, the amount of people that's in these churches in 5 square miles, that's not very many. But behind the pulpit, each one's going to hear something different than the other. So if you don't like what you hear here, you can finally go pay somebody to tell you what you want to hear. You know what kind of letter Paul would write to this mess? There's a church right there. There's a church next door. I mean, we could. If I get mad at you guys, I can just walk right over to this church. Just right there. Then there's one down on the next corner. And then when you turn right, there's another one there. And we have went nowhere yet. If I get mad, I don't have to go very far. How come endurance was a key word? Tells us in revival. How come endurance was a key word? Because I can't see anything else but the love of God and the power that comes from it. But the true love, like he was preaching about this morning, get the CD. I was going to say tape, but one of you would have jumped up and slapped me into another generation. I can't see anything short of this. The love of God getting turned loose with the Word, and Him doing what He died to do because He loved us so much all over the city with the pure vein of the Word of God backing it up. Tulsa would be in revival. Hallelujah. Well, now I'm understanding why it's taken longer than just a power for power revival. A power for the sake of power revival is good, because a lot of people are brought in and healed and are done, and things happen to them, and it's all good. But a lot of times the guy that got them healed falls. Then the people fall apart. Then the diseases kind of come back and take you back over. All those kind of things. God wasn't short on His part. But when we named some of the preachers that went down in history, have the very books we study about the power, because they were used so powerfully in it that the miracles were recorded and handed down, even just our last 100 years, the men that came forward. We don't have a lot of an excuse. You know, we got the teachings of probably one of the mightiest teachers in the world, Paul, and the ones who walked with Jesus, the ones who were taught by Him. Most of them, when they launched out the first 2 centuries, they had, if they could read, they didn't have Bibles. You could pay a scribe a lot of money just to make one book for you. But could you read? Then they'd have to be read. Where'd Paul get his letters? I thank my God, he said in one place, I pray in tongues more than all of you. I should give you a little hint. Wasted a couple of chapters on praying in tongues. I mean, if it's been done away with, he just wasted a lot of paper for that day. Come on, these guys, those churches, they could hardly read. I mean, the guy that preached usually could. But to get a letter of teaching from Paul and make sure this is read and here and there, I can see them making copies. But most didn't read and didn't have Bibles in their laps. We do, and the prophecy said with us a revival of signs and wonders, a revival of media. See, the devil always jumps on something first. Media is available. Everybody in their front room can hear what you have to say. Who jumps on it first usually? The devil. You know? What kind of movies you want to choose? What kind of entertainment? And the preachers that are on? Oh my gosh. Their doctrine's as pure as honey. I mean, we're all going to get rich because of them. We're all going to get rich. All we have to do is give our $1,000. They're just about the only preachers that make it on television are the ones that's giving the whole world a conclusion that we're money grubbers. I mean, not all of them. There's always the exceptions. But when he said a revival of media, this meant we were going to get to harness media in a major way. And not only is the truth going to go out, but it's going to go out with power. Amen. Yes, sir. With power. See, I told Alan's the one that, if you can spot him, he has a blue and white shirt on and the stripes run up and down on his shirt. Stand up for a moment. I don't think that person way over under the exit sign can see you. Now he sees you. I was listening to his teaching and immediately I knew I could say God said. But when he taught on a level of spirit balancing with the flesh, because we got a body that's not saved. But our spirit is. And he ran a balance between the two that would cause a sinner to understand why a Christian acts like them sometime. So why should they get saved? But the teaching is so good that the sinner would be able to tell the difference. That just because that believer's having some trouble doesn't mean that he's not saved. And that sinner needs something. His teaching's on that level that anybody could understand the difference of a believer and a sinner and why the sinner needed to be saved even if he believed he didn't. He would destroy that reasoning in him. So I said, boy, Alan, if I taught on the level of that subject that you teach on, I'd be on more than the internet. You know that one program that's got all the people on it that talk about money? I'd even go on that one. Balance it. Balance it out. Show the sinner he needs to be saved. And just because a believer has a little trouble, it's not an excuse for him to go to hell. Pretty soon we're going to get to, you know, reading the word. And that'll only take an hour and a half. Yes, sir. Why did he do that? He just translated again for me. Well, what did he say? Told me to get back on endurance. I said, okay. What? So the reason that word endurance is tagged with the prophecy that we have nailed up out there is because, can you imagine a revival in Tulsa so powerful that it's affecting all of Tulsa, but now we know what kind of foundation that it needs to have, which is the love of God, and that's what we've been waiting for a long time, and it's arriving now. Now, it's arriving. So look at us, look at us all. For a clachine, for a toklesi, to me kichna, nikasoro maki. He said that to say this, that not only will the love of God spread powerfully, and many, many people will be saved and many, many healed. In fact, it's almost unimaginable because I get a flash vision again of the people in the fields and stuff because something has happened. They've come because of the news and stuff that had been spreading. There's attacks coming from the enemy that was not necessary before. I don't know that word. Wasn't necessary before now, but it's necessary now, for the enemy has studied us through the dispensations and the centuries past for the destruction of us. And there's things he's not brought against you yet that you have yet to experience. But remember, I remain the same, so you're the one that is free. Hoda kalasomakia. Already the enemy for this century has started a great move back towards the justification of sin. That I am not justifying. But yet again, darkness always starts with the shadow until the darkest of night takes over again. And then it starts over again. But know this, my revival of love that is going to be turned loose. And you'll see when the time comes that these things for the enemy won't be possible because of the depth of your understanding of my love and the freedom that you walk in. No wonder, he said, a revival of media and love. No wonder. This last couple of years, I've been taking meetings here and there, not because he told me to take the meeting, but to go make it right with the person that was in the area. And I've taken all those trips. If I think of another one, I'll take it. But if things happen the way my heart is operating now, the most costly thing I could ever do is hold on against anybody. problem with that kind of love? What do you think that you don't understand? We think we understand the worth of somebody. How could we know? You haven't lived forever. You don't know what eternity is. Our minds can't even comprehend a life after this. Yet we believe it and know it so because of Him coming over here and showing us it's so. So we know all these things are so, and we're waiting for them to come. In this part, we have to trust Him because you're going to die anyway. So that's why a lot of people come and trust Him, because they're going to die anyway. So they take out an insurance policy. How do you pay for it? Tithe. They take out an insurance policy, but we don't think too much along the line then. And to the future, that in fact a lot of people, you know, it's so distant to them in an idea that we'll do enough, you know, we'll fill our chair, maybe not the one next to us. We will read our Bible some, you know. We'll have a lot of differences, about 1,000 churches in a little town, but we're on the road. Now, come on. Then we find a verse that tells us what He is. I got all of them out. Sovereignty, righteousness, judgment, immutability, eternal life, love, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and truth is the 10 attributes that make up the one essence of God. But how does He identify Himself? God is. This means I have a DNA that made God's love, a spiritual chromosome that caused God's love to live in me. Of course, it's all over in my heart, but at what strength? At what strength? You can understand filling up this way, but not getting thicker this way at one time. And that love you have, it's His. So it's like, you know, I'm trying to point somebody out that I love and not get in trouble. But when I love somebody, you know, it's with that love that He gave me as part of my new nature. And when I love Him, it's the same love that I love my Father with, which is that same nature, which is of my newborn again spirit. So I love Him, see. But when He loves me, I was created that it would create that love in me. But when He loves me, that's Him loving me. And when I love Him, that's me loving Him. People don't understand this part, but He's making me repeat it. I'm not doing this on purpose. The most costly thing heaven ever sustained is your right to make choices, because even God would get nothing out of a robot telling Him, I love you, I love you, I love you. So shut up. You're programmed to say that. You're not a living offspring, a son, a daughter. God. Who has such a capability to make decisions at Adam? You want me to give you another little bitty revelation? Might as well while I'm at it. What was it? You think it was a green apple or a red apple, or what kind of apple did Eve eat? a new town or a, new, a red one? Or what do they call those red ones?
Red Delicious.
Red Delicious. You think it was a Red Delicious that tempted her into eternity? You know, some stick that was talking to her because it had a head and a mouth. You called him a serpent. Look, a stick talks. Says he was more subtle than the other beasts of the field. You see this big boa constrictor leaning on a post talking to a cow. How you doing, Nellie Bell? I'm just giving milk. How about you? Oh, I eat stuff. I'm a stick with a mouth. What do you think happened? When Jesus was taken away to be tempted, I'll exalt my throne above the stars of God and I'll be like the Most High. Look at all of this. Look at it. Look at it. It's all yours. If you'll bow your knee to me, you serve me, I'll give all of this to you. So the second Adam, Jesus Christ, what? Do you think that he was less tempted than the first or more tempted or? Or do you think something like that happened to the first one? Only he took it. He took it. Wasn't an apple. Fruit means the tree went through its process. This is what it produced. That's what you did. Now come on. And talk about this for a second. You know, he went through all of this, swept away, tempted. Jump off, jump off. It's written the angels will bear thee up. And I said, I won't tempt God. Oh, come on, look. Look at all these nations. Look at the world. I'll give them all to you for they've been given to me. I mean, they're mine, I mean. No, he says. No. He survived everything the devil tried to tempt him with. Because see, this is the standing you. This is the nature. And he made it so easy that all you have to do is just raise your hands and say, I want to be born again in the same life that came forth in Adam, that came forth in Mary. It'll come forth in you. And it has the genuine chromosome and that nature of yours to produce the God kind of love. Not only that, His love will come and inhabit it. And the more of it you walk in, and the more, it affects you drastically. When Jesus was moved by it, I always see him with a herd of children who are twisted, maimed, blind. But of course the adults were around him. I guess I've always used children because you can't blame the parents and you can't blame the children. So where's your faith? Well, what will happen when this fills up? What will happen? God used me in judgment once. To be truthful with you, I didn't want to be used to you anymore. What qualifies judgment is mercy that rejoices against it, first of all. It's no gleeful, joyful thing. But this guy was destroying believers. I meant Anyway, the warning was to stop. And it was an honest warning to stop, or God's hand would be lifted. He didn't stop, he got worse. He died. It wasn't very nice either. Second time that I almost was, but I couldn't, was a person that's pretty well known, and I went to fellowship with them, and everybody they were fellowshipping with was pretty well known. So I thought, God, I'll tell him what you're telling me. I'll tell him if you give me an opportunity. Sure enough, I go into the coat room, and he was the only one in there. So I start. God gave me a word. He says, I don't want to hear it. I hear from God. What do you think? I got trouble? I heard from God. I don't want to hear it. Okay. After I left, he told everybody that I was operating in witchcraft. I saw him 6 months later in the conference. Somebody was with me. So if you needed a witness, I didn't know he was there. The Lord said, there's death working in his body right now. It's working right now. And I said, well, I can't tell him. I can't tell him. He won't listen. So I told the person with me, document this. He died within 6 months. I didn't like it. I know it was necessary. Paul had to render that immediately in the church. I know it's necessary, but I think it's a good sign that I don't like it. But I always see children gathering around. Jesus was moved by what love produced, which was compassion, which is the tangible presence of God's love. But he was moved by compassion and healed over half of them. And we wore you out on this one. Come on. Is he playing favorites? After he went back, everybody got healed too. The apostles there. Is he playing favorite? Is God just letting, has he decided, I'll just let a whole lot of people go to hell in darkness? Or does he really want to give us this light? I mean, okay, Tulsa, I'm tired of you. Go to hell. Or can this really increase? Can it really? I don't mean just a gifting, which he said, though I speak with tongues of men and angels and have not love, it profits me. It profits me not down. Pretty soon, a lot of times, as much harm is done as good. Do we have a capacity for that love to increase in us? doing? Well, I can happily say yes this time. Why else would a room full of devils from hell come with the mission to kill me? And my brother explained it a little bit better. He says, if you really go into shock, sometimes if the fear can stop your heart. But problem was, I wasn't afraid. When he said, we're going to shoot you with a poison dart, I was supposed to get so scared I'd die. The devil, Lord used me in that sensationalism revival thing a few years ago. I heard devils. I didn't see them. They were singing gospel songs, trying to convert me over to be... I was supposed to lead you off into a sensationalism move somewhere. Guyana, could be good. They would have communion. Some of you didn't get it, did you? Jim Jones, he'd have lightning flash in his services. Everybody followed him to Guyana for a communion service on strychnine. They all died. They believed in him. But let's get back to this love. Do you really think it can increase like that? Do you? Yes, I do. Mercy rejoices against judgment. For those guys that ever judged in the past, they'd have preferred mercy. So the devil went through all of that. I mean, I still pried the door open, even though I didn't get to run down the path anywhere. I got to stand there for 1 minute. Hell went through all of that to stop me from going through that door. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? Well, listening to Gary's teaching and a whole lot of them that's starting to teach now, the love of God seems to be coming forward more and more and more. And we're talking about the real kind that we lose no fear. And it never fails. Why? Because the guy that has no fear won't quit, and he's not afraid of nothing. Never fails. What was you going to teach on today? Part of Romans 8. Then I had skipped over 9, 10, and 11 with the Jewish question and went right into 12. And then we'd have finished offering our bodies a living sacrifice, which he said to do in 8 when he told you how. Then he went into the Jewish question. So then we would have went there, and then we would have showed you your reward. Did you make it there? Yeah. Next Sunday. So I couldn't get off of love, neither could Gary this morning. I really had a good standard parable to teach. No. I just couldn't get off. So if there was one thing I'd tell you to do a whole lot of, can you tell me what it would be? You shocked me. You you shocked me. Oh my God. Korakalesia mano. Vilotalium ke kinek bayasito. Todem la faneske mama. Yekem beto kasisi. The interpretation was, I remember what I told you this morning. I said, yes. As your father, I love you so much, he said, that for any reason at all, you are incapable of praying. He said, I fixed it. For we would come and even do your praying for you and then answer it. Well, what if I couldn't talk? Well, first of all, he would pray that tongues and you'd hear it in your mind until it built you up enough from him giving you the revelation that you'd get healed and could talk. Can you imagine a father loving you so much that when you don't know how to pray? Can you imagine back when they didn't have a Bible, how heavily they relayed on that revelation gift? For he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies like we were doing edified the church. Well, why did it edify the church? Because you knew the mind of God for the season, for the town, and for you and the church. So prophecy edifies the church because they know the will of God. Well, praying in tongues, he said, edifies you individually. Why? Same reason. You start with the book of Corinthians and assimilate it, you'll find out that the mystery of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory, the understanding of it, the mystery of everything he is in you, the hope of glory, is transferred through edification. In other words, this man that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. How be it? Analyze it. This man speaketh mysteries. What mysteries? The mystery of who Christ is in you, the hope of glory. That's why he said, another teacher I will give you. He will receive of mine and show it unto you. Man, I'm in a no-lose situation.
Well, I got the Holy Ghost as a teacher. Who do you have?
The same. He's come to tutor you, which is a better word. Tutor. He's taken me down one road, teaching me one thing, but you another.